Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Mahindra Holidays and Resorts India Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by MUFG IR. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Bhat, MD and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Very warm welcome to our Quarter 1 FY26 call. On the call with me today is Mr. Vimal Agarwal, our CFO. You can also find our results and investor presentation on the stock exchanges and our company website. I hope some of you have had a chance to go through them. I think let me begin by talking about the industry. I think the industry continues to be doing very well. If I look at the metric of ADR, for example, in May, it was up 7% YoY compared to last year. I think there was some seasonal softening, but overall, I think the occupancy levels continue to be very high. Of course, we had the impact in May of the geopolitical tensions along the border, which also have impacted occupancy during this quarter for us and for the industry. And I think we are in a very good spot compared as regards the macro environment. I think we continue to see a strong trend of people wanting to do leisure holidays, and that is a trend which has been strong for the past few quarters, and I think it is something we believe will continue into the future. From our perspective, I think even from the Indian government perspective, there is a lot of support. I think there's a 20,000 crore investment in developing 50 destinations with state partners. All of these are helping set the base for this industry on a longer-term basis. Coming to our quarter, it's been a very strong quarter. I think our standalone profits, which is a proxy for our India operations, I think saw very good growth in terms of standalone profits were up 69%. Our PAT margin expanded by 6.8% or 680 basis points. And of course, if I look at our consolidated profit, I think it was up 18% YoY. I must highlight that this growth is despite the adverse currency impact, which Vimal will address when he speaks. But we have absorbed all of that and still, despite that, grown by about 18% YoY. So it's been a strong performance on that front. If I look at our domestic business, I think it continues to do very well. I think our resort performance has been very consistent. I think even this quarter, we have reported double-digit growth in resort revenue and delivered about 114 crores of revenue from the resorts. From an occupancy perspective, I did mention that there was a blip in May. Despite that, I think we have got an occupancy level of about 85% plus. And I must add that this is on the back of added inventory. I think we added our highest-ever inventory last financial year. So despite that, I think we have got to an 85% occupancy level. Our resorts obviously continue to be very popular. I think 14 of our resorts have been awarded the TripAdvisor Advisors Traveler's Choice Award. I think this is something which is a continuous journey for us in terms of keeping our resorts current, keeping our resorts to the standards as required by our guests overall. And to that end, I think as you look at even this quarter, I think we have reviewed the inventory portfolio and looked at improving the portfolio overall, which means we had to let go of a few of our partnerships. And you will see the inventory number dip a little this quarter. Overall, I do believe our goal of gross addition of 1,000 rooms by March end, which is March 26, I think we stand firm on that, and I think there's a very good pipeline of resorts which will be back-ended towards the second half of the year. I think in terms of expansions, of course, we have commenced a new expansion project in our existing resort at Puducherry. We have 5 ongoing greenfield and brownfield projects. Our current inventory base is about 5,800 keys. And I think, as I mentioned, the pipeline for the future is very, very strong. We also looked at improving the journey for our members. To that end, we have rolled out a digital engagement tool for focusing on standardization while delivering improved membership buying experience to our customers. I think the way we look at it is that with a focus on selective customer acquisition as well as a focus on getting the right product market fit, I think we continue to improve on our sales processes. We added about 15-24 members at a overall level. Our AUR is at 8.3 lakhs, up 69% YOY. Member additions through the digital route and referrals, I think, continues to grow. Now it is 65% of total member additions, while upgrades have been stable at about 56 crores. And so I think overall, if I look at that journey of looking at the right kind of profile of members who we can serve really well, I think that journey continues, and I'm happy to report that it's headed in the right direction. I think the other thing to look at is that when we look at our overall commitment to sustainability, I think it's at the core of our operations. I think we have completed biodiversity assessment at 4 new resorts, increased solar installation to 41% of total demand, and our overall cumulative installation of 15 megawatts. So I think a lot of work is being done in these areas. My last comment would be that one of the things we are doing is the entire tech transformation of our business. And I think that journey is well and truly on. I think some of that is being piloted. For example, we are piloting a contactless check-in process in 2 of our resorts. We are also looking at quality of service at the resort level and how do we actually anticipate member needs much better. So all in all, I think a good quarter operationally, a good quarter from a financial perspective, and a lot of progress on some of the initiatives we started on. To expand on the numbers a bit, I will request Vimal to now step in.
Thank you, Manoj. Hi, everyone. Moving on to the financials for MHRL standalone first, I'll call out the highlights, which are as follows. Total income for MHRL standalone stand at rupees 411 crore, which is 7% YOY growth. EBITDA came in at 161 crore, up 42%, and our EBITDA margin expanded to 39%. PAT was at 76 crore, up 69% YOY, and our PAT margin expanded by almost 680 pips. Our cash position also improved to 1576 crore as on 30th June 2025. Moving on to some key highlights of consolidated financial results, our consolidated income touched 740 crores, up 8% YOY, and our EBITDA was 161 crore, which was an improvement of over 16% versus Q1 of F25. Our EBITDA margin stood at 22%. We reported consolidated PAT of 7.2 crore, which is an improvement of 18% on YOY basis. As Manoj mentioned earlier in the call, this PAT of 7.2 crore includes forex impact of 28 crores, which came due to Euro-INR movement from 93 crore beginning of this quarter, moving to rupees 100 as on 30th June. These are a few of the key highlights. I'll request if we can open the floor for further discussions, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pankaj Kumar from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question. Congratulations on overall good number. My question is on the inventory addition side. So, of course, as you have to let go some properties due to the lease tenure period might have got over, and you have kept 1,000 rooms inventory addition target intact. So, this question is like mostly we believe would be adding through the lease properties, and now looking at the demand in the industry, how do you see the challenge in adding new resort on the lease looking at the demand? Because there's a AUR and all are going up, and is it easy to crack the deal in the current scenario? So, that's it.
So, Pankaj, first of all, thank you for the question. So, if you look at our inventory journey, I think from our perspective, first the philosophy is about, one is becoming more present in states we are not present. So, if you look at our map, I think that covers the eastern part of the country. We're well covered in the south, we're well covered in the west, even in the north. So, as you know, we opened our first resort in Andhra Pradesh in the March quarter and something. So, I think that's one way to look at it. The second way to look at it is that our philosophy is based on circuits. So, I think ideally we would like a circuit which would be comprising of two or three resorts which are ideally 2 or 3 hours away from each other. So, that's the other way. Now, coming to your question on, I think, if I look at our pipeline today, I think, as I said, there are about 5 greenfield, brownfields which are in progress, which should deliver a combined probably close to 5 to 600 rooms over the next, I would say, 12 to 18 months. And in addition, I think the remaining are all mostly around partners who are willing to provide capital in the form of either building for us, which is what we call the build-to-suit model, or they already have an existing thing which can be modified to the specifications. And frankly, I think even with the kind of demand scenario we are seeing, I think we are not facing much of a challenge in terms of adding I think adding to our funnel of inventory building. The second part here is that if you look at our journey of doubling inventory, today from a funnel visibility, at least we have either identified land which we have started to think about building, or identified resorts, or identified partners who are going to build for us. If I take all of that, I think today's visibility is probably between 65 to 70% of that journey. So from that perspective, I think we do continue to see strong addition into the funnel. The last part I would like to highlight is that which I alluded to in the beginning. These were not just lease ending, which is causing this, but it's also a function of we are doing a portfolio review in terms of customer feedback and quality of some of our largely associate properties, and that's something which we also took some actions during the quarter that is also contributing, that is contributing predominantly to the minus 53 number which you see in the inventory. So I think that's the way to look at it. I don't know whether you have answered your question fully, Pankaj.
Yeah, I got the answer. And sir, since we are this 1,000 room inventory would be more of a back-ended, and in this quarter we have seen 1524 member additions. So we can expect the first half would be slower on the member additions. So this kind of run rate would possible be for another 1 or 2 quarters. How do you see the member addition for the year?
Yeah. So I would separate inventory from member addition because to me there are two separate tracks. So from my perspective, if I look at the member addition journey, and I think I'm kind of summarizing the 4-quarter journey. I think we first said that we will identify cohorts of prospects where we can serve them the best in terms of the kind of facility we offer and so on and so forth. Then we said that we will look at cohorts where we have seen members being dissatisfied because of service issues. And what we did was we moved out of those cohorts, right? So if you look at the top of the funnel, that itself is reducing. The third thing we did was, as we did this, we reduced our spread geographically, which meant that today we have, I think, about 48 focused destinations, and I think it was a much larger number. The last thing we did is we are moving to higher conversion channels, which is a journey which is work in progress. And all of this, what we said is that in this journey, I think we want to get to a point where we are comfortable with the model and comfortable with the right kind of member profile, which we can service adequately, because to me, customer experience is the number one thing. So, and that journey still continues. So in my mind, I think the member addition will probably not accelerate till we reach a point in time where we are completing this journey, which that also is something which I think will take a few more quarters.
So just to extend this point, this member to room ratio in this quarter we had around 53 levels. That has increased vis-a-vis what we have seen last quarter because of the room inventory additions were not there. So, and directionally, you are looking at a lower member to room ratios that you indicated in the previous call. So, when we look at that math, so probably we'll see the membership, cumulative membership base would hover around these if we adjust for the retirals that we have. Is that the right understanding?
Yeah, I think that would be the math of it. Really, I think it is more qualitative than that. So, for example, we are looking at addressing the retirement pool much more focused manner, and I think there's a set of initiatives around that because they have really experienced the journey with us. Secondly, I think from my perspective, I think one of the things, as I mentioned, is moving the overall quality one notch higher across the board, and that would also mean we might surrender some of these partnerships over a period of time, which you will see in first time we'll take very decisive action this year. So that is also something to be factored in. These are the two things I would add.
So last question, if I may ask. So that's on the resort income. We have seen very decent growth in this quarter as well. And when we look at the annual report numbers, large part of this resort income growth has come from the rentals. So, is it the scenario that we are going to see in future quarter as well? And of course, we have taken F&B price hike. So, how much that element is there in this 12% resort income growth?
So, I think from our perspective, I think both of these will continue to drive. So, I think in the resorts, the journey here is driving the experiences piece much more sharper. And that journey has just started. I think we are running a pilot currently in 3 resorts where we are actually putting together a comprehensive experience package, because we used to do this, of course, in these resorts, but I think put a much sharper focus and put a much more easier to access model for our members. So that's going to be a focus. But of course, I think rental incomes will continue to remain an important aspect of resort incomes. As it has been in the past, I think we have just brought a little bit more focus into this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Harshal Mehta from Zen Nivesh. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you, Harshal. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So, first of all, sir, amazing business model. I was just going through your business for the first time. and your profit number as in at consolidated levels, and when I saw your cash flow numbers, your cash flow is outperforming your profit numbers with a huge margin. So great business model. And when I looked at your standalone numbers, as in your standalone profits and your standalone cash flow, it was even better than consolidated levels. So really, sir, great business model. But so question that I had for this is, when we compare the cash flow numbers of standalone and at consolidated levels, I compared for the last 5 years, and I guess there is some bleeding at the consolidated level. And I believe that is mainly coming from our HCRO business, right?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. But what is the question, Harshan?
Yeah, so are there any other operations which are also bleeding money at consolidated level?
Okay, so let me answer HCRO, because I think this will be a common question across. So if you look at our HCRO business, I think from a overall perspective, I think it has achieved stability. So if I look at it this quarter versus last quarter, I think they are doing slightly better in terms of the P&L numbers. On the cash front also, they are doing better than last year overall, and that's something which we expect to continue. We don't anticipate any funding needs for that business at this point, and so even that continues to be stable. So overall, I think it is something which the performance there is muted because of multiple reasons, and I'll enumerate them. So one is, of course, the whole geopolitical situation, the Russia-Ukraine situation, and a lot of visitors were Russian, so that's something which has been now impacting the business for almost two and a half years. After that came the recession in the Finnish economy, and that economy is expected to recover during the second half of the year and maybe going into the year after. And all of that has really had an impact in terms of two things. One is occupancy as well as the overall sale of timeshare, which is what they do. Which then I think led us to the conclusion that we should focus on a model which enhances, optimizes operations, and that's what the business is doing very well. From my perspective, as I said, it's no incremental cash from our side, as well as improving gradual improvement or stability in the numbers. That's what we are targeting there. And also quarter one is a seasonally weak quarter, which I think you should adjust for, because the number is a loss in this quarter.
Right. So again, so what I was assuming is maybe if this business is bleeding, then we might be looking at an, you know, exit or anything like that, because I think we acquired this business in around 2016 or 17, if I'm not wrong. But of course, from your answer, I got that point. So any timeline or any, you know, time frame that you can give by when we can, you know, get this FCRO business completely turned around and integrated in a proper growth way into this company?
So from our perspective, see, it's difficult to put a timeline because it depends on largely extraneous factors. So if you look at, as I said, the economy is expected to recover through the course of the year. On the geopolitical situation, the Russia-Ukraine situation, I think that is something to wait and watch. If that changes, I think that's a dramatic shift from the business perspective. If I look back into almost F19, I think this business was generating roughly about 10 million euros of EBITDA. €10 million of EBIT. So it's inherently a very strong business. I think it is going through a demand cycle. And that's something which, unfortunately, I don't have a timeline. And for us to consider any long-term strategic options, this is probably not the right time in any case.
Understood. And sir, one more request. Going forward, if you can, you know, share the HCRO numbers in rupee crores compared to what we are quoting as in euro millions, then that will be great. That will be, you know, really helpful for us.
Absolutely, we'll do that, Harshal, and we'll make it a point to add a page on that. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. And no other operations, as in loss-making operations, apart from HCR, right? At consolidated level?
No. Nothing. Nothing.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Param Bora from Trinetra Asset Manager. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Sir, there is now an upward trend in disposable income in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. So how are we seeing member convergence from these geographies compared to metro cities?
So, Param, thank you for the question. So, actually, if you see what we are seeing is there is no change in the mix, despite what you're probably saying is true, right, that there is Tier 2, Tier 3 coming up very fast. So, we don't see much of a change in mix happening in our members, so which means that our product is probably equally attractive in both the places. That's the current reality.
Okay, sir, and one more question. With the rise of digital travel platforms like Airbnb and Saffron Stays, what is Club Mahindra's, competitive advantage in terms of customer experience, pricing, or exclusivity?
So first of all, I think whether it's Airbnb or Saffron Stays, I think the level of customer experience which we offer, which is a full service resort, I think I don't know whether it's comparable, because each model has its benefits and it's a certain kind of traveler profile they attract. But I would like to believe right. that we are a full service resort, right? So from a customer experience perspective, there's a minimum degree of service, there's a minimum degree of infrastructure, there's a minimum degree of F&B experience and other experiences. That's the way I look at it. From a business model perspective, I think there is a gap in the business model. There is a variance in the business model. Our business model is based on, of course, delivering value to the customer in various forms. Only one of them happens to be from a pricing perspective. But if I look at these platforms, I think, as I said, the segment they attract, it could be different. The other thing which has come up in our customer insight surveys today, people are looking at various experiences. So they would like an experience at a full service resort, but in certain groups or in certain ways, they would probably holiday in certain other areas with the likes of the Airbnb and the Saffron Stay, as you mentioned. And the last thing I would do is, I think these as probably potentially partnership opportunities rather than competitive situation. And that's the current state of mind in terms of looking at all of these options.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyan Gathani from SD Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I had a few questions. The first one is, we see lower other expenses quarter over quarter and also, compared to the previous year. So is this mainly driven by the lower member additions and, since we have like 65% that you mentioned is through digital and referral, is that that we should assume that even when they accelerate, our customer acquisition cost would be lower going forward?
So Vimal, you want to answer the, and I'll add on to that, Shreyans. What is causing that dip in terms of other expenses?
Yeah, so see, other expenses primarily is stable is what I say. Q1 F26 number for standalone was about 100 crore versus 99 crores overall. And quite a few things happening here, primarily driven by one is the efficiency which we are seeing in our resort spends. The second one is so far as overhead spends are concerned, there's a fairly tighter control. And similarly, repair and maintenance or the rental expense, we have tried to curtail or optimize. These are the key drivers in terms of efficiency which you are seeing here.
And maybe in this quarter, the main head might be in terms of just looking at each of them cumulatively, because each number is not large enough to point out, if you understand what I mean, Sten.
Yep. Got it. Yeah, because I was seeing like June 24 was in the financial 174 crore versus 151 crore for June 25. That's right.
So that is including other expenses like, say, sales expenses, marketing expenses, which are included in this, and renters are included.
So I think let me actually kind of give you a bridge, maybe, right, from last June to this June quarter, right? So if you look at the bridge, I think what we have been able to do well is look at the leverage on our employee expenses, right? So we are serving more on the same employee expenses base, right? So that's the first thing which has happened. The second thing is, I think, as I mentioned in one of my previous answers, that whole journey of sales transformation, I think, has resulted in significant savings from an absolute perspective, as well as from a percentage perspective, in terms of sales and marketing cost. Only one expense which has gone up is our rental expense, because especially with our associate resorts, because we have added over a period of time also better quality inventory. So I think those are the three broad ways to look at the numbers. So employee expenses are about flat. I think reduction overall from a sales and marketing perspective, because as we've explained, we have optimized and looked at it very carefully. And then expansion in inventory related, which is showing up in the rent piece of it. Yeah.
Got it. That's very helpful. Thanks for that. Next question is on, leased versus owned. What is the, how do we make that decision in terms of, what we want to lease versus own? Because the lease yields basically are, much lower at this point, and that's why, all the, Marriott's and the hotel chains are preferring now. So just trying to get a sense of how we look at expanding in terms of which channels. So
the way, at least at a top level, before I go into the model, is there are certain locations where we would like to own. And so those are some things where we would put our own CapEx. So that's the highest level filter. Now, coming to practically, if I see a journey, we are roughly just about 55% owned inventory today, give or take. And I think incrementally as we go forward, I see that swinging to maybe only 30% owned or even less than that owned. And the reason for that is, I think if you look at our metrics around ROC, etc., I think they are pretty much higher than what we would think of spending through a rental yield. So I think that's one explanation for that. The second thing is, I think what we are finding is there is a lot of partners who are willing to invest the capital, and which will enable capital light growth for us. The only model we are not doing today, which is prevalent in the industry, is the management contract model. Which currently our model is not suited for that. But other than that, I think we are largely going capital light. I don't know whether that answers your question, Shreya.
Yeah, that's helpful. Just the last question is on the VOI. So I see that, if I look at the new membership sales was the member additions and the new membership sales. So I see that this quarter is like around 4.7 lakh rupees per member as such, if I exclude the upgrades. So previous quarters 3.7 and much lower. So what kind of mix are we seeing in terms of the membership? Like, I understand that we took a price hike, but is that just due to the price hike, or is that also due to change in mix? And if you could elaborate on the mix between the Zest and the, the longer period programs.
Shreya, this varies quarter on quarter, but largely the 5-year plan, right, which is goes as 5, is our largest percentage, and the next largest is usually the 25-year plan, right? So these are the two biggest plans. If I look at what we define as shorter tenure products, they are about anywhere between, I would say, given the quarter, between 42 and 47% overall. But the mix, blended mix, will probably take us to between 12 and 13 years, right?
Got it.
Yep.
So you're saying 40 to 47% is just for this quarter?
I think that'll be the rate. So some quarter it is 41, sometimes it is 47.
Got
so it keeps varying.
Okay. So is that how we want to take it for like the 5-year product will be like the most prevalent, like, because many years ago we did not have like a shorter term, like it's mainly the 25-year, right? So
I think, Shreyans, the way I think of it is we'll follow the customer. So we offer a range of options. So we have a 5, we have a 10, we have a 15, we have a 25. And I think we will let the customer make the choice about what they want. And over a period of time, what we have discovered is the 5-year product is popular because obviously the one is from initial investment as well as total investment, it is the lowest product. The second is, of course, it also offers many members an opportunity to try the resorts. And a lot of them then can make the call whether they want to upgrade into a longer tenure. I think that was the logic of the 5-year product. And that's why it's probably the most popular. So in our mind, I mean, I'm equally happy with all the products. I will give the customer the choice to choose which one they suits their needs best.
Got it. So the reason I asked you is like because I believe that the 5-year product...
I request you to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
Sure.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Prashant Sirsagar from Unived Corporate Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. First question is on the Holiday Club Resort. In the slide, you have mentioned about the improved performance largely driven by growth in spa and renting revenue. So can you just give us the footfalls or in the spa business of Holiday Club Resort by numbers wise or, you know, just a color on it?
Prashant, unfortunately, I don't have that number handy with me. We'll try and find it, but and send it to you. I don't have the number handy with me. You
can see 10% point.
Second part is, I want to ask you, is the occupancy level in the Holiday Club resorts, if you can share with us?
I know that occupancy went up 10% to about 55% or so. Is the number I have.
In this quarter, you notice?
Yeah, for this quarter.
Yeah, 10%. But if the geopolitical situation improves, or then what should be the occupancy level which you are looking at in these resorts?
I think if I remember correctly, going back in history, it was probably operating at a 65-70% occupancy, but it's not uniform, right? So it keeps varying, but it was probably higher by about 10 to 15 percentage points, but that's the kind of sense I have.
So it doesn't go in your standalone, we have around 85%. So is there any specific reason why it is on the lower side, or is it?
It's a different model. It's a different model. It's more like a conventional hotel chain, the Finland business.
So it's like a conventional hotel chain. But then the general trend out there in Finland is of the same level of occupancy, or is it?
It is running.
I'm just asking you because we have no clue of what.
Okay. So let me explain the business maybe, Prashant, and it might be useful for everyone on the call. I think the business model there is, there are two things we do. One is we build and sell timeshare resort rooms, right? So think of it like we build a community, and in the center we build a hotel, which is like a conventional hotel, right? Sure. And so the timeshare is like a sale. So you sell weeks and you take the money, and the ownership transfers in a way, right? The hotel continues to be operated and managed by HCRO. And what it does is it gets guests, independent guests, as well as people who stay in those timeshares. Whenever they come, they can also use the hotel. So it's more like a conventional hotel business. So the occupancy level should not be compared with our model, which is a membership-based model where people come and use nights. So it's a very different model. They have a fixed week, which is sold in the timeshare business, if that helps.
Yeah, just to add on to this, in that the hotel which you said, the conventional hotel, what should be the levels of occupancy out there?
I think if I look at the Finland average right now, in I have for April and May, is about 45%. We are running about 5-7% higher than that for those 2 months.
Okay. And the second question is your association with Thomas Cook for club members benefit. What has been the response for that for Finland?
Sorry, are you talking about RCI, Thomas Cook? Which one?
No. Thomas Cook, you have made an arrangement for club members who get 50,000.
I might not have the details of the individual offer, because I think under a Club M Select program, we have a lot of offers. So if you can just drop us a line offline, we'll give you an update of that. Yeah.
Okay. And the second question is, you mentioned in the conference call earlier about withdrawing from partnerships. So can you just elaborate on that? Will be for associate hotels or how?
That is associate.
How
that
it will be for associates only?
So Prashant, let me clarify that, right? So obviously this quarter it was associates, but also during the course of the year, we might look at certain managed resorts also, which have the lowest rating, so to speak.
Okay. So, but that will apply to Horizon program also, or will it apply only to the resorts?
So I think the way I would look at it is the Horizon is an offer for our members, and I don't think we are changing anything there. The managed resorts, we are looking at quality and customer feedback. For associate resorts, and for managed resorts, I think it is about a churn led by both lease term ending as well as customer feedback and quality.
Okay. And the last question is on the membership addition. You said that you are moving to a better quality or whatever profile of the member. So in days to come, that profile will improve or it will be at the same level?
I don't know whether I can call it improve or at the same level. I was kind of trying to say that, if you look at our kind of resort environment, it is family-led, it is experience-rich, it has a certain kind of quality of service, it has a certain kind of environment. I think we are trying to target people who would enjoy that environment to the fullest. And that doesn't necessarily mean up, down. I think it's about trying to find the right metrics and the right data to target those individuals who can actually use our resort to the fullest.
Okay. Thanks. That answers my question. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Prashant.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit to 2 questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Ramakrishna Neti from Zen Wealth Management Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Just a couple of follow-up questions and one main question. So you have mentioned earlier to one of the participants that you are moving towards slightly shorter tenure products, kind of the preference. So the 8.3 AVR that you have reported for Q1, Can we assume around 7-8 to be the new normal going forward? That is the first follow-up. And the second one which I would want to understand, in terms of the longer term subscriptions, like 25-15 year subscriptions, which would have been expiring or likely to expire over the next few years, or historically, like in the last 1-2 years, which would have got expired, what was the renewal percentage of those? I mean, just wanted to understand the continuation of the interest from your older subscribers or customers. That is the second one. And the third one, at a broader level, sir, you have been indicating that from a room inventory addition, the target is around 10,000 rooms by FY30. On similar note, will you be able to share your thoughts, no, from a P&L perspective? Like last, if you look at last 5-10 years, the top line growth or the bottom line growth have been either mid single digits to low double digits kind of a thing, and margins have been hovering around 28-27%. On some of these P&L items, like what would be the thoughts or strategy for the next 5 years as you keep on ramping up your inventory and rationalizing your inventory and even customers? So your thoughts and insights will be helpful to better arrive at an informed decision also.
Okay, so first on the AUR, I would assume that it is peaking. I don't know exactly where it will land up because, as I said, we are driven by customer preference. So, but I would say that this is probably at the peak, and I don't know whether we will see further growth from here. I think your second question was retiral rates. So our historical retiral rates have been low, because I think if you really look at from a perspective of overall, I think the numbers are becoming more significant now, and hence, as I said, that we put a program in place to actually target them. I think maybe in 4 quarters we'll have a good enough answer in terms of what should be the retention rate. But historically, I think we have not focused so much on retention of retiring members, and hence the percentage is low today. Yep. And I think your last question was about how should you think about, as we add inventory, what are the metrics which will move? In my mind, I think two things I want to say, Ramakrishna, is one is that I think we are more focused on metrics around capital return and profitability. And I think if you saw the profitability growth, it is happening today. And I think that's something which we want to keep our focus on. The second thing is as we become capital light and as we explore new models, I think we should see the return on capital metrics also starting to move in the right direction. I think those are the two metrics I would go by, and not really top-line growth, while top-line growth is, of course, essential for any of these metrics to move. But I think I'm just saying from a goaling perspective, that's how we are thinking of it.
So can we...
this will have to be the last. There are 5 or 6 participants behind, I'm told. So last question from you. Please go ahead.
Can we assume that, you know, you are trying to kind of reshuffle and trying to evolve kind of a new business model altogether than what has been happening in the last 5-10 years, like something new, something different, something more experience-led? Can we understand like that?
Yeah, Ramakrishna, I think we are evolving a new business model. Unfortunately, it's not at a stage where I can expand on it, but I think the thought process here is, I think the next stage of growth, the next stage of evolution will have to be different from how we grew in the past. And that's driving some of these journeys as we speak. I think we are readying up for that. And as soon as I think we have all the things aligned, and we'll come back and talk about it.
Yeah. Sure. This helps. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Dua from Geometric. Please go ahead.
I'm audible?
Yeah, I can hear you, Manoj. Go ahead.
Hello. Okay.
So good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. As coming back to the last answer, so we clearly see there's a different journey from Mahindra from the past, that you have decided at what price to sell, whom to sell, and how to sell. And this has resulted in better desire of customer according to you, but in lesser number. So, and on the top of it, you are increasing the inventory also. So can we assume that you believe that you have a threshold of the membership which is required to cover the basic expense, and you want to generate that new mix of traditional hospitality and timeshare to get the best of the both of the world? Can you, I told that you will come into that, but we don't have all the metrics in the, so can you give some more color? What is the direction we, what Mahindra Holidays is looking forward as a new strategy?
So Manoj, I think, as I said, I can't expand a lot on how we are thinking, but hopefully we should be able to do so soon, and we'll arrange a separate call for that. But directionally, as so in my mind, I think, as I said, that we are looking at really the room as the center and the main asset which we are creating, room and the experience, right? So these are the two things which are most important. And I think everything around is then centered around that, right? And then the second thing which we are centering around is customer or member experience. So I think as we think about adding more rooms, adding more experiences, I think our member experience will dramatically improve. The last thing is, of course, in terms of member growth and what sort of simplification we'll do in terms of member plans and how we can get better market aligned in terms of realizations. I think that's the piece we are working on. But unfortunately, as I said, I can't talk about it right now, but more thoughts in the future on that.
Okay, fair enough. You said that we are not suitable for contract management. Can you expand on that? Earlier you used to talk about that you might do that. And I think it is possible in some sense. This is not possible as a business for Mahindra Holidays?
Sorry, what is contract management, Manoj? Management
contract. Brand management.
Management contracts. Okay. So management contracts, I was referring to a question by one of the earlier speakers where he was referring to the model which is used by many players today to expand, which is a different model which is based on revenue and so on and so forth. In our model, I think the revenue is kind of prefixed. Hence, I was saying that might not be suitable. So that was the limited comment on that. Yeah.
On a different line of business like Hilton does or something like that, can we do add one line of business like that?
So sorry to interrupt, but I request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up question.
I have given my question. It's up to the management. Thank you.
Thank you. So Manoj, I think there is nothing ruled out, all of these options are open. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please limit to two questions per participants and rejoin the queue for the follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Gopinanda from PNR. Please go ahead.
Sir, if the European economy situation improves and comes back to wherein we can get the rooms gets filled like the previous times, that level, is the business model of HCRO that we thought of when we were buying it, is it still the same? It's going to work if that is the situation, or is there a complete change in what we thought when we bought and what is the current situation now?
I think Gopinath, there is a series of ifs in the question, so let me try to answer the best I can, right? So from my perspective, obviously the first thing is the timing of the recovery in the Finnish economy. The second is the geopolitical resolution, and I do believe that if those two get fixed, I think we should be able to go back to some of our earlier. So if I'm just looking at F18 and F19, this was a business which was giving a EBIT of between 12 and 8 million. Those are the two numbers I have And that's the kind of potential for the business compared to probably it is operating at probably an overall yearly EBIT of about 1 or 2 today, right? So there is a huge amount of operating leverage in the business because the business is running at high efficiency. Now what it needs is a demand spurt, and that is what we are looking for. And then if you look at the business itself, I think both the businesses it does, both the timeshare business as well as the hotel business, I think these are inherently higher margin business on a variable basis, right? So I think that's really, it's a very efficient ship, it's primed for demand revival, and hence I think it could jump back very, very quickly if some of these changes happen. As to the relevance of the model, I think obviously the hotel business is the hotel business, is always relevant, and the timeshare business will continue to evolve with the times. I think that's the way I see it.
Okay. That means we are not in any plans of selling it off, or are we looking to continue with it? I mean, how long term are we thinking about that business? That is the basic question.
So as I've said in previous calls, from I think at this point in time, I think the focus is on operating the business at an efficiency level. I think the strategic options we'll only think later is what I would say.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Soni from an investment manager. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask, we target to open 10,000 rooms in the next 5 years. It would mean that we have to grow by about 750 to 800 rooms per annum. So I just wanted to ask, you know, have we identified around 1,500 rooms for the next 2 years?
I think I answered that somewhere or maybe in my opening statement. I think if I look at the goal to hit 10,000, which means I have to add about probably 4,200 to 4,300 rooms from here. And I had said that there's a visibility of about 65% to 70% of that today as part of the funnel, okay, including lands identified, etc. I hope that helps, Aditya.
Okay. So out of the 65% that you've identified, how much of what percentage would be leased? So earlier you had said
I had answered, Aditya, that it will be about, I think about 30% maybe will be owned. And that's the ratio we will try and maintain, 25% to 30%. Yep.
And one more thing I wanted to ask: what is the financial advantage that we get in case we lease? So when you make a building, when you make a hotel, you spend around 1.2 crores per room. And when you're leasing it out, what is the average rental per room?
So I answered this also. I said that the way to think of it is from a capital efficiency perspective and a destination perspective. So there are certain destinations I would like to own. There are certain destinations, there are partners who are coming forward, and the return on capital employed for me in my own business is higher than any rental yield or lease yield which I'm paying for them, and that's something which I think drives that decision.
Got it. And what about non-VOI losses? So
sorry, what does that mean?
It just means that the operational losses that we incur, you know, the recurring losses that we incur on our normal scheme operations.
We don't.
We have any operating losses so far as our India business is concerned.
Aditya, I didn't get the question.
So basically, year on year, if you just consider our revenue from hotels and resorts and expenses from hotels and resorts, excluding the VOI component.
Oh, okay.
There's an operational
I think that's an internal metric which we use. I don't think that's the right metric. If I have to compare like to like at a EBIT level, I think we should give the credit of the VO income as well as the ASF income to the resort revenue stream, right? I think that's the like to like comparison. And that, see, the losses there are, I think if I look at it, stable compared quarter on quarter, I think, if I'm not mistaken, from last year.
Yeah, but is there any plan to, you know, kind of narrow it down, and how do we intend to, since we have a lot of customers, so the member base is very high. So per member, there's always a loss year on year.
I think that's a wrong assumption, Aditya. That's a wrong assumption. And I think really I don't know whether we should get into the splitting this, because there are some internal metrics we use, and this is at that level. I think look at the entire portfolio and look at the growth in profits in the entire portfolio, and that's been a very healthy profit growth. And I think we are all goal to manage the portfolio, while some pieces might be in invest mode, some pieces might be in areas where we would like to really sharpen the performance and actually harvest some of the investment.
Got it. And one last question. So we intend to go to a, you know, member to ratio of around 43 or 46, and we are currently at 53. So that would mean that our incremental member to room would be 38.
So I don't think you should calculate in that terms. I had said, somebody had asked me, I think a couple of quarters back, and they said, I had said that to fulfill member demand, what is a good ratio I would be comfortable with? And I had said 45 to 48. So there's no 43 number. And I don't think you should try to impute what is a membership addition by anything I say on a member to room ratio, because these are directional kind of statements. Aditya.
Got it done. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Bhat, MD and CEO, for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the call, and I think maybe some of you might not have got the opportunity to ask a question. Please email us and we will definitely make it a point to reply. Also, a couple of queries we had said we will send you separately. Please write in and we'll answer those too. So thank you so much for joining, and as usual, I think engaging discussion, and look forward to the next one. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Mahindra Holidays and Resorts India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.